Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea and sit back and let's talk about astrology, human design, and the gene keys. We actually have a lot to go over because it's Friday, which means we have the entire weekend to look at today. Let's jump in. So here we are. It's Friday, September 7th, and we are today at the exact of the grand earth trine between Mercury, Uranus, and Saturn. Woo! Right? Things are really good here. The grand trine is a relationship, a triangle, if you will, made up of energy sitting at 120 degree angles to one another. So I'm going to show you a picture. Good morning, Mimi. I thought maybe you'd be at the gallery today. So it's good to see you out there. So I'm going to show you a picture of what this grand trine looks like. It's this beautiful triangle, which each of those angles between are at 60 degrees. I think it is 60. No, it would be, 60 times 3 would be 180. So each one of these angles between these planets is 60 degrees, but it's 120 degrees from one point to the other, one point to the other, and one point back up to the other. So we have this beautiful grand trine with three planets based in earth signs, giving us this wonderful connection to the planet that we live in, to the physical realm. And made up of the points of this particular triangle are made up of Saturn, Uranus, and Mercury. So I wanted to start looking at what was going on at each one of those points. What is it bringing to us? And so Saturn first is sitting at 2 degrees of Capricorn, and it is literally only about 4 or 5 degrees away from the galactic center. So to me, as I look at that this morning, I thought, Saturn is getting his orders from source, right? Saturn is our teacher, the great teacher. So the teacher is being schooled by the galactic center and being told what it is that he needs to bring to and mediate for us here on the earth. And his job then is to tell us about the template for the new foundation we're going to be living from. That is what his process is. He's in his own sign. His own sign, Capricorn, is about structure and form and how we bring more authenticity to our world and how we bring our own personal authority to play in the world. So for the foreseeable future, Saturn, taking his marching orders from the galactic center, is going to be bringing us that new foundation. So your lives may be in the midst of change as you have to recalibrate everything that's going on in your world to accommodate this new energy. Now, Saturn is sending that beam of energy across to Uranus. Uranus is awakening, shaking up. That's his job. Right? He is having us at 2 degrees of Taurus, looking at our values. We've talked about this a lot. We talked about this last May and April when Uranus was getting ready to move out of Aries and into the sign of Taurus. What are our values? Are we living in alignment with our values? What is money? What is it used for? What is it about money that creates such problems in the world? So he's having us take a look at underlying problems to that issue, which might be based in self-worth or low self-worth, places where we may be stuck in an old realm or in an old energy. So Uranus in an earth sign is shaking up the earth. And of course, the earth is responding with earthquakes and with volcanoes and with all of the things that shake the ground beneath our feet, right? Kind of like in some cases, a wake up, right? Wake up, wake up. The third planet involved in this is Mercury. Mercury is really the messenger. He is called the messenger planet. We think of him as the planet of communication. He is the ferryman. He ferries information from the spirit realm to the physical realm via the mind, right? So the mind here is the interface between spirit and heart or soul or grounding here in the earth. So he's mediating the message. He's translating the message for us in this grand trine, the message that source is delivering to Saturn, who's shaking us up through Uranus, is being delivered to us, to our consciousness via Mercury. Now it can go the other way, right? The trine, you know, there's no one directional way that this goes. It could be source giving the instructions to Saturn and moving it to Uranus, or up to Mercury with the message for our unconscious or our conscious mind to take action. And then that zooms over to the awakening process in Uranus. And it could start at Uranus and go down to Mercury and back over to Saturn. The point is, this energy is a feedback. This is energy that is very easily being moved through us at this point in time. At this point in time. Good morning, April. Good morning, Alexandra. Good morning to all of you. Let's see who else checked in. Michelle Brooks. Good morning, Suzanne. Good morning, Michelle Gay. Good morning. I said good morning to you, Mimi, but good morning to you again. Let's see what people's comments are. Michelle says, good morning, everyone. Suzanne, good morning, all. Want to be here today, but I'm searching for my oldest son. Ugh. He is going to be 31 on the 15th, so I should not have to be doing this. We'll miss you all today. Much love, Suzanne. Well, Suzanne, our hearts go with you in this, that you find your son who is in a peaceful condition and able to come home. Not sure what the situation is, but our energies and our spirits go with you in this search. Good morning, Michelle Brooks. Mimi, love that. Laugh out loud. My peeps ought to have zero trouble getting through to me via the galactic waves. Absolutely. April, hey, been missing everyone. An energy of support. Life's been being life. April, we've missed you too. I was noticing that this morning. And you know who else I've been missing lately is Roseanne. She used to be here every day. And I actually woke up having had a dream about her and her daughter this morning. And so I'm going to have to reach out to her today and make sure that all is well in her world. I'm sure things are just busy as she's trying to get a business off the ground and doing a lot of healing work herself. In my dream, I was on a map. And that's, it was really odd because I could see the map of Virginia where she lives and that she was driving out here to Washington to where I live. She came here, she delivered a message, and then she turned around with her daughter and left to go back to Virginia. And I'm watching her progress on this map. Interesting dream. And all of that just now came back. It was also a beautiful morning. A beautiful morning as I woke up at 5:36 because I have my little Fitbit on. I go, oh, it's 5:36. What am I doing awake? And I turned over and I looked out my window and there was the crescent moon, right? Just rising ahead of the sun, getting prepared for the new moon on Sunday. It was this beautiful affirmation. And it was just like, I have, what do you call these things? Blinds. And I could see the moon right in the midst of the blinds, like right between the slats. And it was so wonderful as I just laid there watching this moon rise and then finally got myself out of bed, walked into my kitchen, looked out my kitchen window, and there's a deer eating fruit from the ground of the trees right behind me or right out my kitchen window. It was amazing. Deer is one of my favorite totems. In fact, it is my Mayan symbol. So when I see deer, I feel like a message is being delivered to me. So it's been sort of a mystical, magical morning anyway. So anyway, for us, Suzanne, we send you tons of energy, of love. She said, well, can't just sit and wait. Nothing else I can do. So I am back. Okay. You're back here with us. I am assuming that means, anyway, we'll just, there's not much, you know, that's interesting that he's 31 because I have a 31-ish year old nephew who's also sort of imploding and has been. It must be a tough time, you know, between 31 and 32. I mean, you're just post your Saturn return and a lot of pressures building up for them at that age to become adults, to actually live their life as adults, to become responsible for their actions, for their past actions. It is a difficult time. I get that. So hopefully he can transit through this time and open up to the new moon, new energy, and live his life on a different level. We'll hope that for him. We'll hold that space for him. All right, so getting back to our grand trine, great energy here for us to hold practical applications, to ground in practical applications of all of the things that we've been learning about over the last several months. And the sun today is also in an opposition to Neptune. Now, Neptune represents spirit, ether. If you remember back in the days, you know, when we talked about perhaps a fifth element, there was air, earth, water, and fire. And maybe the fifth one, ether, or the spirit as an energy or as an element. And so Neptune holds that energy for us. And with the sun's energy, then the sun shining some light perhaps into the places where Neptune holds some murkiness. So in a way that is because Neptune has been in Pisces. Pisces is a water sign. Pisces is sometimes very hard to pin down, right? It's energy that's up here in the spirit realm and often living in ideals as opposed to in the real. Virgo at the opposite end now, though, with the sun in Virgo pulling all of that energy down into the planet. I always think of Virgo energy as it relates to an astrology chart as where the rubber meets the road. Right, where it is that we have to take practical steps in order to do anything on the planet. It can't just remain up here in the spiritual realm. If you're here on this physical planet, you got to bring it in. You got to do something with that energy. So the sun helping Neptune at this point to bring in that energy via an opposition. So if you think of an opposition like a teeter-totter holding metaphor with the whole energy of equilibrium and harmony that Venus is bringing us through her sitting at gate 50 in the human design right now. So interesting, right? Teeter-totter where, you know, we can hold this balance or this harmony, this equilibrium. But if somebody lifts up their feet, the teeter-totter swings the other way. And anyway, it's just kind of an interesting metaphor, the sun and the moon, the sun and Neptune holding this sort of balance between the very ego energies of the planet or the system that we live in and the spiritual energies as well. So let's see, Saturday, we have a void of course moon to deal with from 6:32 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday morning to 7:30 a.m. Just a wee little one, just about an hour long. And that will be the time between the moon in Leo and the moon moving into Virgo in preparation for its new moon phase. And so on Saturday, the early morning hours would be really great time for us to explore what is the intention for the new moon. What is it that we want to manifest? Don't set about doing it yet because you're still in the energy of the waning moon. But let's use that time to sort of explore into what it is that we might see as the trajectory ahead of us. And it's going to be personalized. It's personal for you because wherever it is that, you know, you have this energy going on in your chart, where is Virgo, right? Virgo, where is that energy? In my particular chart, Virgo new moon is going to be in the third house of communication. And what have I been working on, but how it is that I'm going to package up things and deliver them to you? How am I going to teach third house teaching? So lots of different possibilities through the 12 houses of the chart as to where this is going to be affecting you. That same day, Saturday, Venus is squaring Mars. Venus with the new moon is moving signs. She's changing out of the sign of Libra and into Scorpio, going further and further toward her retrograde station. So at the end of Libra, she begins to square Mars in early Aquarius. And when we have Venus and Mars in a square, we're being challenged by something. We're being challenged possibly by the feminine and the masculine energies within us. Mars holding space in Aquarius about freedom and about being able to be quirky and eccentric and to be able to look at the world from upside down. I gotta dig that picture out again, the giraffe that I had at some point. I can't remember why I used it. It was probably the moon in Aquarius. And the giraffe has his head, you know, like he's looking down, like he's looking up at the world from this completely different place. And that's what Mars is doing. Mars is looking at the world from a completely different place, while Venus is preparing to go deep, to really look at the ancient lineages of the feminine energy. And what is it that we need to bring up from those depths? What is it that we need to bring up and let go? What is it that we need to bring up and hold on to re-express? You know, I shared, I think it was about 3 days ago, or maybe it was last week. I don't remember. I shared a video series on Living Astrology's Facebook page about ancient healing with herbs and plants. And so yesterday afternoon, I actually got to watch the first of the videos because they're only available for 24 hours. And I didn't get to watch it the night before. So I was watching this, and everything about what they were discussing is about bringing back that ancient healing energy of the feminine, our relationship to plants and to herbs and to how we use them in cooking and how we use them as in healing. And if you guys haven't gotten a hold of that, go back to the Living Astrology Facebook page, scroll down a ways. You'll find that video series, click on it. I think you have to give your email address in order to be able to get those videos delivered to you. It's a series of 9 videos. Excellently done. I mean, well done. And interesting. I got a lot of information, even for my own daily life, from that. And it's extraordinary. So anyway, I invite you to take a look at that and get it for yourself. I don't know that you'll be able to catch up with previous videos. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. But at any rate, to go even on from here out would be a great experience. There's still 8 more videos, and they're going to go into depth about different ways of healing. So in a way, what we're seeing, even with Venus moving into Scorpio, is the ability to bring back this ancient knowledge, to bring back these things that were lost to time, to the fear of persecution as we went through the Inquisition, as we went through the darker times of patriarchy. And patriarchy is at its end, right? It is at its end. You only have to look in your outer world and see the backlash of the white males, right? Of the masculine energy backlashing against the rising feminine. And not as the feminine to overtake the masculine, but to sit rightfully at the side of the masculine in its rightful place. And a lot of what we've been talking about over these last couple of weeks about Venus are about bringing that up and strengthening it and empowering it, not in a way to take over the planet, but in a way to really be able to change the face of the planet, to bring balance, equilibrium, harmony to the planet. Pretty cool, right? The moon on Saturday is also in a sextile to Venus, sextile 60 degree angle. They're getting along nicely. They're sharing of gifts and talents, right? They're sharing of the gifts. The gifts are the emotional connection to the feminine, the emotional connection to our souls. So Saturday, in preparation for the new moon, is powerful. Powerful because the moon also joins the grand earth trine, right? The trine that we're just talking about between Mercury, Uranus, and Saturn. Well, the moon joins Mercury at the Virgo end of the trine and really brings that energy full force into our beings, right? The being, the looking at the details. What is it in the plan that I've been putting into place? What are the details? Right? Virgo is really good at the details. They can see all the little pieces on the chessboard, and how, if they can stand up and look at the bigger picture, they can also see the details. So the devil's in the details. Saturday, preparing us to be able to complete the journey of the last new moon through the full moon and now into the next new moon. Sunday brings us the new moon at 17 degrees of Virgo at 11:02 a.m. Pacific time. So what's that? 12:12 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. And I thought that we would take a look at this new moon We've already talked a lot. We know about Virgo. We've got the practical, organized, analytical, critical thinking, critical eye kind of energy. We've talked about that, the being on the earth, grounded, feet first on the ground. But what we haven't really looked at is what it means for us through our human design. And I thought it was really interesting that there's a bridge occurring at this particular new moon as the sun and the moon are in a conjunction at this time, and they're preparing to walk out of the gate 64, the gate of confusion, to the gate 47, which the actual new moon time takes us to that gate 47, which is epiphany, which is aha, which is revelation, right? So it's interesting. I usually think of revelation and aha and epiphany as coming with the light of the full moon. But then right now, this new moon brings us to a bit of that energy. And I didn't say this before, but the gate 64 and the gate 47 are part of the codon ring of alchemy. Let me see if I still have that picture of the codon rings, because I'm pretty sure I would have saved it, but I might have put it away somewhere else too in preparation for something else I'm cooking up for all of you. And I did. I don't have it sitting in this file. The codon rings were the different ways in which the gene keys and the gates of the human design chart are grouped together. So gate 64, where the sun is today and where the new moon is transitioning from to the gate 47, they're part of the codon ring of alchemy. And alchemy is defined as a magical process of transformation, creation, or combination. And it brings up words like transmutation, transfiguration. It means there's big changes, right? This is a new moon of big changes, of alchemy, of magic. There's magic in the air, one of my favorite words, right? So the gate 47, where the actual new moon sits, how that confusion, it's all sitting up here and we want to know how, and what are we supposed to do with all this stuff, right? What am I supposed to be working on? I hear that question all the time. How do I move from where I am to where I want to be? Your job isn't the how. I always tell you that your job is the what do I want, and to stick with that. Well, now this new moon brings us that epiphany, that piece of information, that magic, that part that's actually going to allow the alchemy process to proceed. This is a powerful new moon. And it's powerful to take a look at it through gene keys, because irregardless of whether you have those two gates defined by birth, you have it defined now. So you all have all of the human design. I don't know that I ever stress that enough. You all have all of the human design. It's just a matter of whether it's defined or open for you. And that drives how it's expressed, not whether or not you have it. Make sense? Let's see. What's everybody saying out here? Everybody's so quiet. Listening, I hope, intently. So alchemy in process, magic in process, transformation, creation, all in process as we lead into this particular weekend with this new moon of Virgo. All right, let's complete our processes of the gate 50, gene key 50. Does anybody have any questions out there about the new moon before I move on? I also have my cards. So I'm going to draw a card today with the intention of looking at the energies for this new moon, but I have not drawn it yet. I wanted to have the magic unfold while we were on air. So we'll do that. Don't let me forget. Mimi says, gosh, this sounds wonderful. I love the aha moments. Don't we all, Mimi? Alexandra explains all the dragonflies. Oh, yes. The dragonfly. You know, God, there's just not enough time in the day to really tell you all of the wonderful things, all of this stuff that I have up here in my head that I want to get out to you all. Because through the gene keys, the dragonfly is sort of the totem, the mascot. On some of the older versions of the book, the dragonfly is on the cover. I mean, I have one of the older versions, which has the DNA on the cover, but the next version up had the dragonfly, because the dragonfly represents the evolution, the gate 55, the evolution. where gate 22 next week, the sun and earth move into 4722, is the involution energy. So next week, we're going to be looking at what's going on within us that's changing, that affects and drives the outer world expression. So that'll be next week. So the dragonfly absolutely explains the dragonflies, because there's so much that is changing. Like I said, I think I woke up on a new planet this week, or at least a new version of this planet. It's pretty amazing to me. All right. So we start today then with the end. We start with the end. By the way, I'm in my Seahawks gear today because it's Blue Friday, and Blue Friday means that we are celebrating the game that will happen over the week. I think we play on Sunday in Denver. And so I'm just excited for the games to begin. It's amazing to me that I love a game that seemingly can be so violent like football, but God, I love the sport. And I love, I just love it. I just love it. Anyway, maybe it's the idea of the team and how a team on a football team has to work together to get the ball moved from one line to the next and eventually all the way down the field to make a touchdown. And in some ways it represents a synarchy, right? A group of people working together with a common goal. And the goal would be maybe to win the game, or maybe a more immediate goal of getting, you know, the next goal to the next goal line. So there is sort of something really like life imitating art here, where I see football as sort of, or any sport almost, as a metaphor for our lives. So as we go here to the gift of equilibrium and transition to the city of harmony, I have a quote from the Gene Keys book from Carl Jung that I wanted to share with you. Carl Jung said, "Nothing has a stronger influence psychologically on their environment and especially on their children than the unlived life of the parent." Nothing has a stronger influence psychologically on their environment and especially on their children than the unlived life of the parent. It's totally relevant because the 50th gift had to do with how our values are passed on from one generation to the other, from the feminine line to the children, to the community, to the tribe, to the world, to the country, to whatever it is, right? And it's relevant because if our parents and you as parents, and I even think about myself as a parent, have repressed emotions or needs or secrets that emerge through our child, because, right, we are projecting stuff out onto our children. And we as parents interpret the child as having a problem or needing to be fixed or needing to be disciplined. Instead of looking to our own unmet needs, then we are holding the shadow in place. We are holding that shadow of corruption. We're corrupting the energy. We're misreading the signs that our children are giving us, right? So I'm going to pick on you for just a moment, Suzanne, and I don't think that this is true at all, but I want to show you something here. This is a great illustration. What is your son's running away showing you about you? Right? That's the thing I always look at. I mean, sure, there might be immediate danger that your son is in and whatever it is that he's experiencing, but it's in your world. So not to make you responsible for what he's experiencing, but if you take the responsibility into yourself as to what this is showing you about you, what are you running away from? What do you want to run away from? It's wonderful when you can do this, right? This is how we become responsible. This is how we lean into the gift of equilibrium, right? This is how we become able to get to the Siddhic state of harmony. When we take in responsibility for the aura, for the energy that we have, for the creation in our outer world. I am not taking away anything from the experience your son is having, but I'm saying, let's look at what it is here for you, right? When parents take responsibility for their own unconsciousness, when we as individuals, as a part of a group, as a part of a country, take responsibility for our own unconsciousness, there emerges a healthy aura, a healthy basis, a healthy energy and frequency for relationship, for teamwork, for getting along together. So when we, and I'm not going to pick on you anymore, Suzanne, and I'm not picking on you because I could pick on all of us right now, because we see in the outer world right now some real chaos going on in our government, right? Secret pieces being revealed, information being leaked, a president who sometimes reacts to things in explosive ways. And all of us have to look at that and understand that it's partly our responsibility. Not that we created Trump's reaction or what's going on, but what in us is in resonance with that? What part of that frequency do we hold responsibility for creating? Right? It applies to us as individuals within our families, within our one-on-one relationships, within our groups. It also applies to society as well. Right? So any group, any nation, any tribe, any family is only as strong as this, the frequency of the people that are part of the group. And the beauty in rising to the gift of equilibrium is that every person keeps to their own aura, cleans their own energy messes up, doesn't take it and package it up and project it out there on other people. Takes it and says, okay, how, you know, this is a situation that I'm faced with. It's my creation. What am I going to do with it? I'm not going to package it up and throw it out there on other people that I'm going to blame or be victimized by, because I'm never a victim. This is important too, because Chiron in all of this is sitting at the 0 degrees of Aries mark, getting ready to backward into Pisces, because he's in retrograde. He's going to be bringing back up for us this victim energy, showing us where we're still playing that role, where we're still telling the story of victimhood. We can't be the dragonfly unless we let go of the illusion of being a victim. Therein lies the whole of our evolution. Okay. So the gift holds the genetic blueprint for social equilibrium. But the social equilibrium, as we've just seen, begins with us as the individuals, right? And in this, we can create, instead of a hierarchy that's based on I'm high and you're not, I'm the high, I'm the king, I'm the queen, I'm the president, I'm the whatever, and you're my lackeys, you're below me, beneath me, it creates an equilibrium and balance, creating a group that's in harmony. All the individuals of the group see their own stuff and they own it. And they heal it. And that leads to the harmony and empowerment of the entire group. If we want to lead to a harmony and balance in this country, it begins with us as individuals in all of this. A heterarchy, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, is aligned through teamwork based on higher frequencies, higher frequency values, our common core values. What do we value? And transparency, owning our stuff, being able to say, look, I'm a human being and I have messed up. But I am now going to clean up my act. I am now taking responsibility for everything that I've created. It doesn't mean that I'm taking on blame or fault. I'm just becoming responsible. And now instead of knee-jerking and creating more havoc and chaos, I'm going to be in balance and I'm just going to love every part of this. Right? Harmony is a vibrational code that brings all elements within a system into perfect and almost permanent resonance. Equilibrium can change with the teeter-totter, but harmony says that even out of balance, everything is as it should be. That evolution is happening. It is unfolding on a path ahead of us. It aligns us with a real sense of belonging, right? Ultimately, the gift of harmony aligns us with universal consciousness, right? With the harmony of the spheres. There's actually a musical component to all of this, right? Human beings and music. Why do you think we love music and why we respond to music? Because our frequencies are musical. Music is fundamental to who we are. The one key thing that we have to do before we can ever find harmony and equilibrium in our outer world is to dissolve separateness. It is the key. The key is to see that we are all one. And when one suffers, all suffer. When one heals, we all heal. When one is expressing the shadow, it's because we own a part of the shadow. People, by the way, that have gene key 50 or the gate 50 as part of their hologenetic profile. Remember, the hologenetic profile is the one that I sent out for everybody to get. It is sort of like your human design template, only in gene key style. And it's really beautiful. And as part of that, you see what your journey is to your path to individualization, which I really haven't talked much about, but will at some point here. But the people who hold the gene key 50 are catalysts for the shift in consciousness of those around you. So if you hold the gene key 50 as defined in your hologenetic profile, you are in some way a catalyst to this kind of energy. You're bringing this into being. You can bring it into being by being the model of how to bring it in and how to be in harmony and equilibrium, how to create heterarchy, or you can bring it in by showing us the shadow of corruption, either way, right? So the emergence of heterarchy is sort of a signal that there's a genetic shift at hand. And one way that we can kind of evaluate whether this is happening or not is to look in your worlds and in the groups that you belong to. Are they arranged in a hierarchy or are they operating as a heterarchy, right? Look for groups of self-empowered people working creatively together without the limitation of the hierarchy. This came booming into me this morning as I realized that the Gene Keys ambassador group that I belong to is operating at this gene key. We're not perfect in it, for sure. And not being perfect in it means that I see in myself sometimes this looking to Richard Rudd to be the point man for all of this in the group. But he's been very careful to make sure that no one does that. That we're all taking responsibility for ourselves in how this group operates. It's amazing, right? We can see this shift occurring when groups are operating creatively like this together, but without having to say, well, I'm the president and you can't do anything unless you run it by me first. Hierarchy's days are numbered. But it's going to take each of us cleaning up our own aura, our own stuff in order to bring us to this highest siddhic state of harmony. But it's possible. I see it. It's birthing. It is birthing. And every time that we want to package up our stuff and project it out, stop yourself. Become more aware of what am I doing, right? What am I doing? Because you have the power in that moment, you have the power to bring it back, to reel it on in and say, what does this mean for me? What is this showing me about me? And what you're aiming for isn't that it erases and goes away. I mean, Suzanne's son is still missing, right? She doesn't know where he is. But what she has gone to when she works through her own stuff about this is to a neutral place inside of her. where she's not resonating with the fear of this missing person, of what his choices are, perhaps, of what that might mean in his absence. She's not resonating with that. She's come to a neutral place where she's worked through and healed all of that fear within her. That's where we're headed. All right, let's see. What are people saying? Good morning, Londa. It's good to see you. I forgot to call you back yesterday. I got so into what I've been writing scripts for. I really got inspired, by the way, by this ancient medicine series that this guy is doing. So I got inspired to write scripts for videos on each of the energy centers. So I'm going deep, like I wanted to in the webinar last week, but I'm doing it center by center. And so that will be prepared for you all here shortly. I've gotten the spleen and the ajna, two down, seven to go. So it'll be it's been fun. I've been totally inspired to do this. So Londa says, great message, incredible magic in the message. Thank you. You are most welcome in the magic we are all living. Good morning, Kristen. It's good to see you this morning. Alexandra says her spirit is dancing. Ah, I love it. We're all spirit dancing. She says, I also love what you are saying. So heartfelt. Thank you. Because, yes, it is. It's Nick Polizza, whatever, however you say that name. And it is what did you call it? The ancient sacred science of herbology. They make some such great points in that video. God, I was like, the roots of Big Pharma, which I would have thought are much more modern concoctions, really go back to the mid 1860s, 1850s. And it's amazing to me that we can so blindly move forward with things and not ever question them. Such was our consciousness, right? Now we have this ability. Remember I said, when I talked about the Mayan calendar, and I said that at the end of the Mayan calendar, it wasn't so much about an ending. It wasn't an ending as, you know, like the end of the world, obviously, because we're still here. But it was the ending of the puppet strings, that there was this sense up until that point that we were sort of fated by the evolution that we were going through, that there was a certain plan that was unfolding, a cosmic plan, if you will, that was unfolding in our evolution. And that piece by piece, we were given the, like, as a generator, right? The next step being revealed in the evolutionary plan. When the calendar ended back in 2012, I would argue back in 2011, even the puppet strings were cut. We are no longer being fed information, or are no longer fated to continue evolving. We have everything we need. We have it. We have it. All the codes are within us. Now we just have to bring them up. We have to express them, right? It's that teenager that you get to 18 years old, and now suddenly they're the tie to the parents is cut by the law in this case, and they're now legally adults. They make their own decisions. They make their own mistakes. They take and move along their path, and they're going to mess it up, right? Because there's still an immaturity there. So we are still immature co-creators. But the play here now is for each of us to take responsibility for that, right? To learn more and more about who we are, what we're expressing, what are our shadows, what are our gifts, and how do I bring that out in the world? Boy, did I get on a soapbox, because now I don't even remember what made me get there. But it's fabulous, right? We have so much opportunity. Oh, I was talking about Nick and his series. Good morning, Daphne. Amen. So true. Oh, look, my phone just decided to talk to me. Every once in a while, Siri will do that. It's really kind of freaky. So I'm going to pull a card because I have an appointment this morning at 10. So I'm going to need to wrap this up so I can get all the production of the video done. So I'm going to pull us a card. And my intention for the card is for us to get a read on what this new moon is really about for us. To, you know, what can we ground this into for us as individuals on this planet? And The cards needs. Oh, there we go. Do I really want to read this one? It popped out upside down. It is called Fork in the Road. And look at the number, sacred number 13. Number 13, Fork in the Road. Upside down means I'm going to read the protection message. 13. Fork in the Road, the essential meaning of the card, the essential meaning of our new moon then. Time to make a decision, considering the consequences as you prepare to act, owning up to your obligation to make a necessary choice. Indecision is extremely frustrating and will lead to anxiety, loss, and confusion. At this juncture, you can't remain in place without losing your way altogether. Avoid the tendency to let others choose for you, which amounts to a subtle refusal to take responsibility. Don't give your power away, not even to this oracle. By not making a choice, you are making a choice for which you must become accountable. If that choice leads to undesirable circumstances, take heart. Spirit never tires of giving you second chances. You can always start again once you've learned this valuable lesson. Wow. Cool. Fork in the road, but in protection. Is that a llama on there? I think it's a llama, but dressed up as a elk or a deer, perhaps, because he's got antlers, which I know llamas don't have. But it's kind of a cool card, right? Cool message. And I love that there's this sign that has these arrows, right? Directions. What am I going to choose? What am I going to choose? So there we have it. So that was a lot for one day, a lot of depth, a lot of stuff. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the new moon. Ground in what it is that you are meant to ground in, what's for you. If you need help deciding what it is that you need to do, reach out for a reading, right? There are transit readings that can help you get honed in to what is this cycle mean for you. Wherever Virgo and Pisces by opposition are in your chart is where this opening is being created. I bounced out. I swear I'm living in the cusp of two dimensions, and I just blinked into one and out of the other. It's kind of funny. So anyway, everyone, take care. Have a great weekend. Much love to you all. See you on Monday morning. Bye for now.